You know how some people have this crazy story about being 7 years old and they were in court for some reason and their family was in dire need and this lawyer came in and saved the day and looked so glamorous and so exceptional and just, it's almost like it's out of a movie. Well, I don't have that story. I don't have a major reason why I wanted to become an attorney, but I still wanted to share with you the reasons why I decided to become an attorney. I'm Attorney Ali Awad, the CEO Lawyer. Welcome to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. Let's get started. There are three reasons why I became a lawyer. Obviously, there's probably more, but I wanted to condense it. I like systems. I like, hey, here are three things you need to do. Here are five things you need to do. I've just kind of grown into that. So I'm gonna give you the three main reasons why I decided to become an attorney. And I don't think I've shared these in the past. So this is a never before seen footage, never before heard podcast, never before experienced CEO lawyer experience. Anyway, here are the three reasons. The first is I felt like I had already maxed out my career potential as a car audio and wheel salesman. My story is that I used to run a car audio and wheel shop called Joker's Audio. And my brothers and I started this business 20 years ago. Literally, I was in middle school selling radios and car systems to my friends because I was the youngest. I was born in July, so people would get their learner's permits and their cars and their licenses before me, but I was still, you know, making sure that I was selling to them. So from age, let's say, 13 to 23, 23 was kind of like my halfway point in law school. From age 13 to 23, that 10 years of working at Joker's Audio, I basically became a really, really good salesman. I knew how to talk to anyone and convince anyone to buy whatever it is I had for sale. It evolved into a superpower. It felt like I wanted to use this for good. When you come into my shop and you buy a set of rims or you get some window tint or you get some new paint job or new interior, I was so good at convincing people to get things, and I learned these psychological triggers and these emotional nuances that you can apply when trying to make a sale. I figured if I'm that good at selling a product or a service that people don't really need, it's just a want, it would be so much more fulfilling if I could do it for something people actually need. So I became an expert salesman. Hands down, I'm a beast at sales. I don't think anyone who actually knows me is going to disagree with that. Second thing is, I felt like I had already reached like the pinnacle of the experience and the success that I could have as a car audio and wheel salesman. And I'll give you some examples. First, we started in one retail store in Dalton, Georgia. We expanded to three. So I got to experience what it was like to have multiple retail locations. Then we started going to these trade shows. At age 15, I went to my first CES show in Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Showcase, and we started doing deals with these major wholesalers and distributors. So much so that my brothers and I and my dad, the Awad Squad, we got together and we bought an entire car audio company from China. And we bought all their speakers, all their amplifiers, all their subwoofers, the entire line, the entire brand, everything. Took over all the equipment and sold it through our retail stores and online. I was doing all of the online sales for the company. And here's kind of the separation between me and my brothers and my dad who were in that car audio and wheel business, but I was in that business operating a little bit differently. I was always looking for ways to bring business in or to generate sales, generate revenue for our company that didn't require it to happen through the actual retail channel. So all of the products that I would find, I'd try to sell them online. And so I started my first eBay store, I think in 1999. I was literally 9 years old when I first sold my first item on eBay. Did a horrible job, had to learn from it. And then by age 12 or 13, I got a lot better at selling online. And I had this 1 week that I distinctly remember where I sold $10,000 worth of Audiobon amplifiers. And was convincing my mom, like, hey, you got to pick me up from school at 3:30 sharp because the drive time from getting to Dalton Middle School to home to package up the amplifiers and then drive to the post office before 5 p.m., it's very, very small amount of time. So I really need you to come and pick me up on time. And she'd pull up in the 1995 Nissan Sentra with 13-inch chrome spinner hubcaps. And I'd feel super embarrassed because I'm like, okay, chrome spinner hubcaps aren't really the epitome of class. But it didn't matter. That's just where I was and what I was doing at that time. So retail sales, online sales, international business. We started a company in China where we actually designed our own car audio subwoofer. It was the Elf Audio SIO 12 was the model number that we created. SIO standard for Sam, Ali, Ibrahim, and Omar. That was the model number for the subwoofer that we created. And it was so cool to design the packaging for the box, to design the spider of the subwoofer, to decide how thick of a rubber surround we want on the sub, whether we wanted carbon fiber face or if we wanted a regular face on the sub, the size of the magnet. Did we want to use a neodymium magnet? Do we want to use a strontium magnet or a ferrite magnet? Did we want to have a two-layer spider, four-layer, eight-layer spider? What were the connections on that subwoofer? Did we want them to actually be the push-in connections or to be one of the prongs that you can plug into? And designing the entire subwoofer and building that was really, really cool. And I really enjoyed that process. So it didn't just happen to be a retail experience. It was an online and a truly international experience in Joker's Audio. And that was my exposure in Joker's Audio. So that's the kind of history that I had before even becoming an attorney. And I felt like with all of that being said, there wasn't any single event or transaction or process that made me feel like I'm fulfilled. I want to do this for the rest of my life. The other reason was because it was a dying industry. You know, cars were coming out with newer state-of-the-art technology, newer, bigger rims, higher, lower profile tires with higher quality rides and systems and suspensions. People weren't just getting new paint jobs and new interior jobs. They had this program called Cash for Clunkers in the 2000s where they were trying to get rid of all of the old cars that were in the United States. And so those were our clients, the people that were driving the 1997 Ford F-150 with a 5-on-135 bolt pattern that really wanted to get some 22-inch rims on it. Those were our clients. And the government was incentivizing them and giving them cash to get rid of these old clunkers. So there were a lot of factors involved, but primarily I didn't feel fulfilled. And I didn't feel like it was my true calling, like this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And honestly, I just felt like I could do more. And I was really good at school. So as I finished college, I was like, I might as well just go to law school. And here's how like half-ass I was in going to law school. I only applied to the part-time program. And I only applied to two universities for law school, Mercer and Georgia State. Mercer because I thought it was a better name, and I got accepted into Mercer right away. And then Georgia State because it was right down the street and I could still, you know, run the car audio shop but still drive, you know, to law school when I needed to. And I wanted to work part-time so I could still run my company. Well, they offered me a scholarship and a full-time position at the school. So that's kind of the reason why I actually decided to go full-time to law school. Initially, I wanted to go part-time and stay in the Joker's Audio business. And so I feel like life happened for me at that point because I didn't want to go to school full-time. But because I did and because I got that scholarship, because I made that transition, it was much easier to just let things go. And so even though those few years where I had to basically get rid of the income that I was making from the store, it transitioned to my younger brother who's now taking that business to astronomical heights. I was literally forced to be pulled away because I needed to focus on law. And I knew that I couldn't have two passions. I needed to focus on one thing and just be an expert at it. And so I felt like I reached my potential in the Joker's Audio business. But it really sucked because now I'm not going to be making the money. Now I can't sell my amplifiers and my speakers and be in the retail shop and, you know, make a quick $5,000 sale. Like, that stuff was so fun. And it was probably because of the instant gratification that you get. When you sell something and you see that money hit your account, it's instant gratification. And sales is instant gratification. You feel like you've already earned your commission the moment you collect that check, the moment you collect that cash, the moment you swipe that credit card, you've won. Whereas with personal injury or with law, sometimes it takes months or years to collect and you've already done the work. So those were the two really difficult things that I had to fight with in my mind was, how can I let go of the instant gratification and the cash and the fun of being in the car audio business? And how can I also get rid of the instant gratification and be okay with delayed gratification? So that was a very difficult transition for me, but I knew that it was important. And so the first reason was I felt like I maxed out my career potential at Joker's Audio. The second reason why I decided to become an attorney was actually my college professor at Dalton State College. His name was Anthony Simons, Tony Simons, and he was my criminal justice professor. I wasn't planning on going to law school before then. It was an idea. It was either law school or med school or engineering or whatever. I'll figure something out. But in the meantime, I have to do my college courses and my curriculum. Anthony Simons was a powerful, eloquent college professor and speaker. He could grab anyone's attention, and not from the altitude of his voice, but from the presentation and from the extensive vocabulary. It will grab your attention. And I just loved being in his class, and I got A pluses both of the times that I took his class. So I really liked it. I was really interested. And he would always have these stories about law school. And one of the interesting stories that I remember was, his name is spelled Simons, S-I-M-O-N-E-S. And when he was in law school, he would say, like, when I was in law school, they'd be like, "Hey, Simonis, what is a right? What is an act? What is this?" And it was funny because he was almost like reliving the law school experience and explaining it in class. And I was like, that sounds like a really cool experience. I'd love to be doing the same exact thing. Little did I know that like 4 years later, it'd be like, "Mr. Awad, what is a right? What is a passion? What is a contract?" And it's like, it literally happened right in front of my eyes. The same way that he was telling the story of how they were mispronouncing his name and showcasing what the law school experience was like, I lived through that 4 years later. So I think Professor Simons was a huge motivator for me in becoming an attorney. I rarely talk about that, but honestly, I wanted to emulate him. The way he was so eloquent, and the way that he was so commanding of the room, and the way that you could see that he had passion in his voice, I wanted to copy that. I wanted to grab the same people's attention the same exact way. And so now the way that I speak is almost in sound bites, because I know to grab people's attention, you can't just go on a continuous stream of consciousness and a thought process that people can get lost along the way. You have to map out the plan. How do you want to speak? Cover the main points, and then at the very end of the story, loop it all back in so that it all makes sense. And he was really good at that. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I do today. And I even do it on stage in front of thousands of lawyers nationwide. That's probably my favorite part of the job right now. So, Joker's Audio, Professor Simons, and then finally, in terms of becoming a personal injury lawyer, I had no clue that I wanted to become a personal injury lawyer. I actually thought that I was going to be an immigration lawyer and a criminal defense lawyer because I just liked being a counselor for people. I liked giving advice to people. Like, I like being the guy that you can ask for advice from, and I'm going to give you great advice. I like being that guy, and I needed some sort of qualification in order to do that. You know, like a piece of paper that says, "Hey, Juris Doctor." So those first two reasons were why I decided to become a lawyer, but then this is the reason why I decided to become a personal injury lawyer. So while I'm in law school, I still had my entrepreneurship muscle super flexed, and I really wanted to get better at business, and I wanted to pursue other business opportunities. So after the first year of law school, I added the MBA and became a JD MBA student. And in that second year, I did 59 credit hours in 1 year, which is what most people do in like 2 years, I think. But I still had the highest grades of all 3 years of law school during that second year because I loved what I was doing and I learned a lot about myself. That when I take on more responsibility, I actually perform better. Having multiple legal jobs gave me the confidence to know that I don't want to do immigration. I don't want to do business litigation. And business in law is very different from being an entrepreneur and having your own practice. And the real reason why I decided to become a personal injury lawyer was because I had already experienced working at an immigration firm, getting criminal defense exposure with my brother, working at a business litigation and real estate law firm. I did get my real estate license, I think, in like 2016, because I just thought I was going to do real estate too. Never ended up using it. So I was just really trying everything. And then when I went to a seminar in like 2013 or 14, there's this little black dude that came up to do a presentation. I'll never forget it. He looked like Eddie Murphy, but a shorter version. Little afro, little mustache, big teeth. And he walked up and was like, yeah, you know, we had this case where it was a difficult personal injury case. And, you know, went through the depositions, went through the trial. And, you know, luckily we had a good result. And I'm shortening the story. It was like a 30-minute presentation. But at the very end, all I really remember was someone raising their hand in the back of the room and saying, hey, what was the verdict? He said, oh, you know, well, I think we did okay. The verdict was $7 million. Like, $7 million. I'm doing my math in my head. I'm really good at math. So I was like, 40%, $7 million, $2.8 million. You made $2.8 million in one case? And I'm already, this is like the thought process going through my mind. And the next thing that comes out of his mouth was, yeah, but it just so happened to be in a conservative venue. We had the same exact case in another more liberal venue a few months ago, and we actually got $20 million on that one. I'm thinking, this guy made more than $10 million in the past few months, like for himself, take home. And I thought, how long would it take me to make $10 million literally doing anything else? The entrepreneur in me was like, I need to do this. And at that point, no one in my, the entire Awad value of our entire generational wealth, every family all over the world was not $10 million. So I'm like, and this guy did it in a couple of months. And I knew if this guy could do it, then I could do it. And I didn't care how smart he was. I didn't care all the amount of years of experience that he had. I didn't even care or even bother to learn that he was a badass litigation attorney. And he built himself up from nothing, from 15 years of hustle. I didn't care about any of that. I just knew this person, the way he looks, and the way he acts, and the way he presents himself, I can do that job better. At that point, I was like, personal injury, that's all I'm going to do, and that's all I'm going to focus on. And yeah, I was financially driven, for sure, because I've been broke my whole life. It's hard to not care about money when you're hungry, okay? So it was financially driven. But it doesn't matter how much money you make, at some point, you have to love what you do. And the way that I learned to love what I did in personal injury was by starting my own law firm and being able to lead people and being able to talk to clients and build a brand. And I talk about this on another episode where I really wanted to become an actor. Well, now I'm an actor on video. I get to do these video commercials and have fun doing, like, I've figured out a way to have fun doing my business. And it's very different from other people. Some people just want to be litigation attorneys and they love PI for the money. And all they want to do is go to the courtroom, get that check, and then go on vacation. And they don't want to do anything in between. They don't want to build a brand online. They don't want to have a social media following. They don't want to lead a bunch of paralegals and case managers and attorneys. They don't want to do any of that. I love all of that. And I've created a business and a lifestyle that I genuinely enjoy. But those were the three reasons why I decided to become a lawyer. First, I was in the car audio and wheel industry, and I felt like I maxed out, and I wanted to take those skills to a more professional industry. Second, my college professor, Anthony Simons, huge motivator. I wanted to be exactly like him, honestly. And third, when I finally did go to law school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I got my JD, and then I added my MBA, and then when I went to a personal injury seminar is when I really doubled down and decided I'm going to do personal injury. And from that moment on, I did not accept or work on any other type of case other than personal injury. And knowing that it takes 6 to 18 months for your cases to settle, that means I was very hungry for those 6 to 18 months after I graduated law school and started my own firm, because you're not going to get paid during that time. You're just hustling and working nonstop. And I'm going to do a completely different podcast, different episode on what my first year of running my practice was like, because I think a lot of people are going through that and they want to become either entrepreneurs or their own law firm owners. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's extremely hard, especially when everyone around you is making a lot of money. When all my friends were graduating law school and getting $150,000 to $200,000 a year job offers, and I'm like struggling to make $40,000. It sucked. And then watching everyone around me make a lot of money and me just being like, okay, I believe in it. I know that I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. I had to really, really have some grit and fortitude and relentlessness and confidence that no matter what happened, this is going to work. So I'm going to do that on a separate podcast. But for this, I wanted to share my three reasons why I wanted to go to law school or why I became a lawyer. And I had a couple other points that I wrote down that I really wanted to cover. And it's about stacking up your skills. So before I went to law school, I already had a ton of sales experience. I had a ton of online experience. I had traveled to multiple countries and learned different languages. So I was fluent in three languages and conversational in two others. I basically had enough skills to where you could drop me anywhere in the world and I would be fine. And when you have that kind of aggressiveness and that relentlessness and that salesmanship, and you get put into a category of people that usually don't have that sort of experience, they're not aggressive salespeople, they're not hungry businessmen or women, you're gonna dominate. That's what happens. Because most lawyers actually suck at business, and a lot of them are really lazy. It's baffling to me how many lawyers and doctors I see that are just lazy. Just because you went to school and got a degree doesn't mean you've made it. You've literally started. And that's the difference, is I had no idea what I was gonna end up doing. I just knew that I needed to stack up my skills. And if I had enough skills plus a high barrier to entry, then I know that I'm going to dominate. And that's what I'm delivering in my message to you all today. You don't have to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. You just have to know that you need enough skills and need to keep stacking up those skills over the years, and eventually you will be able to cash in on those skills. Our problem in today's society is most people don't have enough skills, and most people, if they do have one skill, they're not good at anything else. You have to be a well-rounded individual. I'm not the best entrepreneur in the world. I'm not the best salesman in the world. I'm not the best lawyer in the world. I'm not the best at anything, but I'm really great at a lot of things. And I think that people get confused with that common saying, a jack of all trades is a master of none. But that's not the complete quote. The complete quote is, a jack of all trades is a master of none, but still always better than a master of one. I'm that jack of all trades. I've mastered a lot of different skills, and I don't consider myself exceptional in any one thing. I'm just really great at a lot of things. And I know that in order to market yourself, in order to build a successful business, in order to help a lot of people, you need to know how to sell, you need to know how to communicate, you need to know how to promote. And more importantly than all of this, you need to have confidence. You only get confidence from doing things, from putting yourself out there. So whatever you're going through right now in your life and you want something better, build the confidence by forcing yourself through those experiences. You won't get confidence and experience before you have the test. You have to test yourself. And only when you test yourself are you gonna realize how much you're actually capable of. So just do it. Just Nike, baby. Just do it. I promise you, no matter how many skills you stack up, you'll always figure out a way to utilize them in the future. Always. And if you don't know how to market them yet, you'll figure out something else that you'll learn. It's kind of like why people think college is useless. College is useless from a financial perspective. Going to college and spending 4 years to get a degree and graduating with $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000 in debt is a very stupid financial decision. because there's a lot of other better investments that you can make. But it's not about what you get out of law school or what you get out of college. It's who you become by going to college and going to law school. And who you become is someone that can follow deadlines. Who you become is someone that knows how to take a test and to prepare for the ultimate test at the very end. Who you become is someone that can manage their time. That's what college and law school and these education programs teach you. And that's why these institutions still work. From a financial perspective, it doesn't matter. And it's stupid, honestly. But from a self-development perspective, it's huge. And so if you have those self-development skills and you can follow instructions, meet deadlines, manage your own time, what happens if you couple that with hardcore entrepreneurship and powerful marketing? You become the CEO lawyer. That's my story and that's my show for today. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. I hope you guys benefited something from this show. And I can't wait to share with you the next show, the next story, where we're going to talk about my first year of running my law firm straight out of law school and having 1 year of experience at another firm. It's going to be very eye-opening, and I promise you're going to get some incredible value from it. If you have any questions, you have any recommendations on what type of show or what type of content you'd like to see, drop them in the comments, and I'd love for you to subscribe if you got some value. Take care, and I'll see you on the next one. Thank you.